I'll wait a little bit and just in a minute and look around the room to see how many of you are moving your leg constantly. Just tapping, tapping. Anybody do that here? Anybody this morning? Already? Our legs are already moving. If your legs are already moving, let us know. Just raise your hand. If you're, I'm joking. Yeah. Now raise it a bunch of times. No, no, no. We were restless. When I was a kid, I was super restless, and to deal with my restlessness, I would just try to get drum beats. Everything was my drum kit. So whether it was a can or a glass or I was always doing something with my hands. My parents realized early on that I had an issue with restlessness, and so they would buy me stuff, you know, to kind of satisfy that need in me. First, it was a slingshot, but I started killing everything. No, so then they handed me a more accurate weapon, you know, a BB gun. That was a lot of fun. And then I was given limits, boundaries as to what I could kill, what I couldn't. So we would kill and hand it to people for food, and that's how we justified our killing spree. But we have these things. Oh, at one point, my parents gave me a machete as well. I don't know what my parents were thinking, but that, you know, it's to satisfy this restlessness. Yeah. And then my parents started a project where we were raising rabbits, and yes, I did eat those rabbits, but we projects. So my hands were always, I had to have something in my hands moving. I was a kid who'd come to my mom and dad and say, "I'm bored." Maybe you're that kid. Maybe you're still bored. But we have an issue that needs to be sorted out. And that foundational problem is something we all deal with. It's not really satisfied with the slingshot, although that can be helpful and fun. But ultimately, it's settled perfectly in the hands of a relationship with Jesus Christ, that where we get anchored in Him. We get anchored in the body of Christ, anchored in that relationship. And so this morning, I'd like for us just to look at that, maybe help you consider alternative ways to deal with your restlessness, your boredom. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. Book of Hebrews, as it tapers off, concludes, the writer in the last chapter, and by the way, when Hebrews was first written, it wasn't in chapters, but that last portion of Hebrews are concluding comments. And the writer of Hebrews makes a strong case that really the cure for our problems is in traditional values. The cure for our problems in those things of being anchored in Christ. Let me give you just a quick summary here. Let's leave this on the screen here, Hebrews 13, verse 8. But the verses preceding, and I'm just going to give you a quick summary of that. The writer talks about just a few reminders as the writer is concluding the book of Hebrews. It says, keep on loving each other. Keep doing that. Keep loving each other as brothers and sisters. Makes reference to not forgetting to show hospitality to strangers. These list a few things that we need to keep doing that are good things instead of looking for new and strange ideas. Keep loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. He goes on to say, remember those in prison as if you were in prison yourself. Remember those who are being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. And then the writer says, give honor to marriage. Cherish that long-standing tradition of marriage. Remain faithful to one another. And goes on to say, God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. That's in verse 5 of Hebrews 13. based on the faithfulness of our God, that God says, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? And then on a sort of on a side note, the writer says, remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good they've done and how their lives are an example of this. So this is this shout out to look back at what's really works instead of chasing after new and strange things. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by strange and new ideas. Your strength comes from God's grace, not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. We're restless in life until we anchor ourselves in the capable hands of the unchanging Jesus. We read a lot today about narcissism. I don't know if you've, I've been reading a lot about it. There's just a lot that's been written about it. It's a very interesting topic. Narcissism is discussed in relation to business, in relation to relationship. Narcissism is discussed now in relation to the church. I'm just finishing a book entitled When Narcissism Comes to Church. But narcissism is this expression from people who are trying to seek affirmation, but short-circuiting the process of finding true meaning. The narcissist believes that true satisfaction can be found in these short-term fixes. And to put it in a different way, this chasing after constant dopamine instead of going into deeper relationships, friendships, and commitment, tradition, that would be more meaningful than these real quick fixes. Narcissism is really an expression of short-circuiting the process of trying of finding true meaning. Our society today is more and more, has produced more and more narcissists than ever before in history because people don't know how to find true meaning. They're chasing after meaning in places that do not satisfy completely. We become dopamine addicts, dopamine seekers, thrill seekers, adrenaline junkies, or new idea junkies, or more money junkies. But we chase after those things, believing that that will satisfy us completely, instead of chasing after those things that will create in us an anchoring, a stillness that we can only find in Christ Jesus. People have written about this. One notable writer early on called The Culture of Narcissism was written by a guy who discusses this. His name is Christopher Lash. He wrote about this in 1979, almost like a prophetic word about what was coming. But he connects this narcissism as an expression of this lack of finding meaning in family or religion or faith. Not a believer, but saw the problems and saw the emerging issue that was coming. Written in 1979, it was very, very popular. He wrote that the self has become too weak to endure stillness. That the self has become too weak to endure commitment or long-term meaning. Our restlessness is ultimately a cultural and spiritual problem. A society without deep anchors produces individuals who cannot rest. That's a quote from him. In a rapidly changing world filled with new ideas and challenges constantly being shattered across multiple platforms, we can find solace, rest, we can find peace in knowing there is one who never changes. His love and his agenda are still relevant and practical for today. The writer of Hebrews is asking us to look back to really what works instead of chasing something brand new. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Who he's always been before you were around, who he is while you're on earth, and who he's going to be way past your time is still going to be the same. So we need to chase after him. I don't know what new diet you're on. I need to go on a diet, but whatever it is, it's not going to satisfy you like Jesus will. I don't know what you're into. When life is overwhelming, uncertain, or when social media tells you to redefine yourself daily, remember that your identity is secure in Christ. He's your rock. He's your anchor when everything else feels like shifting sand. Psalm 46 says this. I'm going to read all of it to you, and then you'll see here on the screen verses 9 through 11, which I want us to focus on. But let me read all this to you. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So will we not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea? Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come, see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shield with fire. And so the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. I'll be honored by every nation. I'll be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. But we are not being still. We are restless. The key to finding him is stopping, being still. Arthur Brooks, who's a professor at Harvard, writes this, that boredom is not a problem to be eliminated, but a necessary condition for human happiness and meaning. He advocates that we should embrace boredom. Be still, so that our body can go into that default mode network, he calls it, which is that place in our bodies, in our physiology that makes us stop. And it's from this stillness that true creativity and insight comes. Very often, though, when we sit and are still, we see that inside of us is hollow. And it's a place we don't want to go to because it's not a fun place to be. So whether it's a Rubik's Cube or a spinner or, in my case, a slingshot or a pellet gun. Today, it's our smartphones, right? And we always fill in the gap of stillness to get that quick dopamine fix. And it's killing our self-understanding, it's killing our creativity, it's killing our moral reasoning. We're just filling up our life with quick shortcuts. Arthur Brooks, with neuroscience research, has shown us that long-term happiness comes from being still. There's empirical research that shows that overstimulation erodes happiness, while stillness, boredom, purpose, faith, and love measurably strengthen human flourishing. Be still. Be still and know that he is God. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is more than enough. Much more than enough. The book breaks down how the old way of sacrificing animals over and over again for forgiveness was replaced by something much better, the Jesus one-time sacrifice. Hebrews repeats this theme throughout the entire chapter of verse 13, and then adds that the old sacrifices were never eaten by the priest, but rather burned outside the camp. Hebrews compares this to the Jesus who was crucified outside the city in shame. She says this in verse 10 of Hebrews 13. We have an altar from which the priests in the tabernacle have no right to eat. Under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin, and the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. His sacrifice is so complete and perfect that nothing else needs to be added. Nothing else needs to be replaced or repeated. The truth is that Jesus is incredible enough. I want to show you a diagram here this morning. I believe it's before this slide. Of this comparison of this of pursuing, chasing, this restless behavior of chasing compared to this idea of being still. If you're chasing, you're chasing after dopamine. So you're chasing after novelty, stimulation, consumption, achievement, comparison, a quick hit, restlessness, more. The end of that is anxiety and exhaustion. And if we would evaluate ourselves this morning, if we're exhausted and anxious, maybe this is how we live. On the other hand, if we're pursuing serotonin, oxytocin, serotonin is that chemical that's produced when we have friendship. It's the friendship chemical that we produce in ourselves. But it's when we feel safe, when we feel secure, when we feel like we're loved, cherished, friendship. And then oxytocin is produced in that deeper relationship of commitment. And we very often short-circuit ourselves. We chase the dopamine instead of the serotonin and the oxytocin. C.S. Lewis said that we're too easily satisfied, but really the issue there is that we stop short of real satisfaction instead of just being too easily satisfied. We're actually not satisfied when we take shortcuts. Ultimate satisfaction comes only in Christ. Scripture does not warn us against desire. It warns us against misdirected desire. So faithfulness, stillness, connection, belonging, gratitude, deep joy, rest, enough. At the end of this, if you pursue the deeper levels, Christ, if you pursue him, there is then peace and there's fulfillment. The narcissist short circuits and takes a shortcut to what he believes to be truly true satisfaction. They continue to feed themselves with the short plan. And that's why they're never satisfied. And that's why they not only destroy relationships, but they destroy themselves. The restless person needs to learn how to feed himself, herself, in the right way. We aren't addicted to pleasure. We're addicted to shortcuts. It's our problem. God invites us not to feel less, but to desire better. Hebrews takes us to this next step. Hebrews 13, verse 13. So let us go out to him, outside the camp, bear the disgrace he bore. Because he is the one who never changes, we're invited to go outside the camp to bear his disgrace he bore. Because of his unchanging nature, let's stick with him. Let him be our first plan. Let's don't take shortcuts. Let's be founded and anchored in Christ. The writer says, let's go out with him to bear the disgrace that he bore. Let's be unapologetically authentic, because that is truly where rest is. You might say even, let's get weird, but in the good sense of that term. Not to keep pursuing dopamine, but to actually stand with the one who truly satisfies. Paul said it this way, be fools for Christ. 1 Corinthians 4, our dedication to Christ makes us look like fools. But you claim to be so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are so powerful. You are honored, but we are ridiculed. Even now we go hungry and thirsty, and we don't have enough clothes to keep warm. We're often beaten and have no home. We work wearily with our own hands to earn our living. We bless those who curse us. We are patient with those who abuse us. We appeal gently when evil things are said about us, yet we are treated like the world's garbage, like everybody's trash, right up to the present time. Being a fool for Christ doesn't mean that we're reckless or naive. It doesn't mean that we become adrenaline junkies. It means living in a way that doesn't always make sense to the world around us. I'm asking you to do something that is not new. I'm asking us as a church not to chase after new things, but to stand with Christ, the one who never changes, to be anchored in him. That really is the key to your peace. That is truly the key to your satisfaction and your fulfillment is Christ and Christ alone. So we stand with him because he is the one that never changes. We stand with him in his shame because in him truly is where the battle is won. It's in him truly where there is peace and satisfaction. Living for Christ makes us look foolish. So be it. Because there's no one else who can satisfy like Christ. We seek the eternal city, not the temporary one, not the shortcut. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Matthew 6:33. So don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of who? Unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek after him. Stand with him outside the camp. Be ashamed with him, but stand with him without shame. And know that at some point, you'll be with him for eternity. You're playing the long game here. You're playing the deeper game. I had the privilege of doing premarital counseling with Diego and Cindy. What a privilege. And one of the things I always tell people in who are getting married is that, listen, marriage is fantastic because it's hard. And marriage will expose who you really are. It's an incredible thing. You were always that person. But marriage just exposes it. And you always have a choice. We've all had a choice in marriage if you're married. We've all had a choice at some point where we began to see ourselves for who we really are, as we were seeing who our spouses really are. But we see this, and sometimes what we see is not pretty. We see selfishness. We see all kinds of things in ourselves that are ugly. And we have a choice, right, at that moment. Am I going to stick with it so I can experience this deeper peace, this deeper satisfaction? Am I going to figure this out? I need to take care of myself anyway. Why not the platform of marriage to really discover who I am and to settle things that needed to be settled a long time ago? Now, I'm not suggesting that marriage is horrible, but I am suggesting that marriage is difficult, but it's worth it. Whenever I do weddings, this is what I tell the people always, it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it because the place you can go to is a place that takes a lot of work. A better place takes time instead of just choosing shortcuts one after the other. So we got to work towards something more meaningful. In Christ, he's worth our time. He's worth us chasing after him instead of chasing after a short thrills that this world has to offer, but that never, never satisfies. The writer of Hebrews continues, says, because Jesus never changes, we need to stand with him, be a fool for him, but we also need to offer a continual sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name, and don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Our problem, though, right, is that we may have been part of church and then we got bored. We just thought, okay, this really isn't working for me anymore. The writer says, continue to offer a sacrifice of praise to Jesus. Continue to be satisfied with him. Continue to declare back to him who he is. That's praise. Continue to worship him because he is worthy of it. We get bored and we decide, oh, Jesus used to work for me, but he doesn't work anymore. And so we stop praising him. We stop putting credibility in who he is. We keep chasing after those short. We want that shortcut, that quick release of dopamine instead of going deeper with Christ. So the author understands that for many of us, praising God continually is a sacrifice that we have to make. It's a choice we make. It's not very often a comfortable choice that we make. Offer Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise. Keep choosing it. Keep praying even when it's hard. Keep praying when your knees are blistered. I haven't gotten there yet. I need to pray more. But we need to keep praising Him. We need to keep going to Jesus instead of chasing after the new stuff, because Christ is truly the one who will ultimately satisfy. Offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise. Really, what the writer of Hebrews is asking us is, maybe a way we can understand this better, is brand loyalty. The writer is saying, listen, Jesus really is the best brand. All right? There's nothing better. You can chase after some other kind of different type of food or different type of worship or a different church or whatever it is we chase after, but ultimately our hope is not actually in a new church, but in Christ and Christ alone. Brand loyalty. Let Jesus be your brand. Let Jesus be the head of your life instead of some new ideology. When a brand gets it right, you're more likely to recommend it to friends. You're more likely to post about it and stay loyal, even if competitors have cheaper or trendier options, right? In a world full of choices, loyalty shows that the brand has earned your trust and place in your life. What they're asking is, are you going to continue to stand firm for really what works best? I'm not going to talk this morning about Land Rover, Mitsubishi, or Toyota, all right? But I know when I said those three names, you both, you're a fan of one of them, right? Nike, Adidas, Reebok. Reebok's kind of out, right? I think what's trending right now is Crocs. Ziggy, will you show us your feet today, this morning? Yeah, Crocs, that's right, yeah, Crocs, yeah. If you have a pair of Crocs, we don't judge you this morning. But we would ask you to shoot higher. Yeah. More satisfaction in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Sacrifice your love for Crocs for the love for Jesus. That's what I'm asking this morning. Yeah. Brand loyalty. Continue to offer Jesus a sacrifice of praise. Why? Because Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. Still the best. Still the best. In your restlessness, in your boredom, take that extra step and discover the sweetness of Jesus Christ. I invite you this morning to invest in Him, to invest in that relationship. Go deep with Him and discover true satisfaction. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love You. We thank You. Lord, thank You that You truly give us peace that is mind-boggling. Lord, it surpasses our understanding. So Jesus, this morning we choose to be still and to acknowledge that You are God. We choose this morning to stand outside the camp, to be a fool for You. Or this morning we commit to stop chasing after new and trendier, but to be satisfied with You. Lord, You who are forever, Lord, You, time is not Your limit. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. Lord Jesus, forgive us for calling You old. Lord, forgive us for being bored and restless and blaming it on You. Lord, fill us this morning with your Spirit. Lord, help us to truly be still and enjoy you. In your name I pray. Amen.